This is the Wave Maker, Kyle Boone.
And this is Shiloh.
And you're listening to WrestleLife Radio.
Because you're smart and cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WrestleLife's Radio. Let's start again. Hey! Hey!
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to keep that in. Welcome to WrestleLife Radio's 2020 MVP. We did this last year with special guest Matt Bolin. Wilshire was here. And Kyle was also there with me. But today,
yeah, thanks.
We have your core three with Mr. Kyle Pauly.
How's it going?
Kyle's still here. Even though we try to get rid of him, he doesn't go away.
Yeah, I'm stubborn, if anything.
You're like a fungus. You just don't go away.
And you hear him, Mr. Micah Sin. Right. Say hi, Micah.
Nope. Today, I am actually Montel Vontavious Micah. That is MVP.
Not Micah Vontavious
Porter? You said it was the MVP show. I guess it should be Micah Vontavious Porter. That is better.
Also, you said MVM.
Yeah.
Not MVP.
MVM. I'm the MVM.
Montel Vontavious Micah is not MVP. That's my favorite thing. So we are doing two episodes today. We're recording them both, and we're going to be releasing them separately. So right now, you're listening to what will be the AEW MVP of 2020, and then next week we will have the WWE MVP of 2020. That's right. We're still doing WWE.
Even though we just stopped recording that episode.
We went through a whole year of it, so we're absolutely going to do it. 100%. So we're going to jump right in, and how this is going to work is I have five names from All Elite Wrestling, okay. And I'm going to toss it to you guys, and I want you guys to tell me. Even if they're not your vote, I want you to tell me why you think that person should be MVP and what you thought of their year.
And why they okay? are Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone should be on this list, but he's not.
Yes, Tony Schiavone, and Tony Schiavone.
Okay.
And then good show, guys. See you guys next week.
After I do my five, I will ask you guys if you want to add anyone to the list, and then we'll all vote.
Okay.
That sound good?
Sounds good.
Sure.
I get the rules. Okay. I understand.
Okay. So, Micah, I'm going to let you start, and we're going to go ahead and get the obvious out of the way with Mr. Jon Moxley.
Yeah, this is my number one pick, I think, for the year. Just because of how much he has carried mainly the ratings for AEW. I mean, he's a known name and he's a great worker, and his championship run, I think, is perfect for AEW. It was perfect in establishing them as a main event picture kind of wrestling company. Yeah, they had Chris Jericho, but he was kind of like the legend of yesterday kind of thing. We're almost like, it's almost like TNA, like you gave it to an old guy. Now, don't get me wrong, it's nothing like that, because Chris Jericho is one of the greatest of all times, and he still is one of the greatest of all time, one of the best on the mic to this day, but he's still seen as previous generation. So giving the belt to Jon Moxley, I think in this current time in their company's tenure, is perfect, and he did a great job with his long championship run, and he did great for ratings, because everybody loves Dean Ambrose. So yeah, I think he is the MVP of AEW, especially for this year.
Yeah, he's definitely been like a great foundation for AEW, being the champion basically the whole year. He's had great promos, great matches, great stories. Everything he wanted, you know, from when he left WWE, he's pretty much gotten in AEW. And it's been all fantastic. There's not really been a lull that, you know, oh, he had a bad match here, or, you know, he's kind of floundered, or his character is kind of weak, or anything like that. He's just hit a home run every time he's been out there. So, he's pretty much, I don't know if I'll give my pick away yet, but he's up there. He's arguably, like, you know, the MVP for sure.
I think the only blemish on his record to me is his match with Jake Hager. And even that one wasn't really bad. It just wasn't exceptional, and all his other stuff has just been so good. So I'm there with Moxley as well. I think that him as champion brought eyes to the company. I think that he reinvented himself. He's having more fun than he's had in wrestling in years. And I think that he is certainly a top choice.
Yeah, and he's going to be a dad.
He is going to be a dad. Him and Cody are going to be co-dads.
That's going to be a stable in 20 years.
All right, Kyle, I'm going to toss over number two to you. And speaking of Cody Rhodes, tell me why Cody should be the MVP and what you think of his year.
Well, he introduced the TNT Championship, so that was pretty big.
And that open challenge, baby. Oh, so good.
Right. So he gave a platform to a lot of guys, obviously Darby Allin. Jungle Boy got a good shot in there. He had some great matches in the open challenge. So, plus he's just been, if John Moxley is not like the top babyface there, he's probably next in line.
Whoa.
I don't care what Mike says. He's got that entrance. So,
yeah,
he's a star for sure. I mean, face or heel, he's definitely a star. So, he's definitely been very important, at least to Dynamite. And I would probably say he's had some hits and misses as far as matches go, but I mean, that's kind of Cody. He's been great for Dynamite for sure.
Yeah, I do think Cody is one of the top heels in the company, and glad to see him generate some real heat for Dynamite. No, if I had to say anything about Cody, I think the best thing, it may be trampling on somebody else in your top five. I don't know. You didn't tell us a list beforehand. The number one thing about Cody for this year is that he gave us Eddie Kingston. Yes. So there you go. MVP right there. We also got Ricky Starks because of Cody, because of his TNT run. I really did enjoy his TNT run. I really enjoyed him losing it to Brody. I thought that's one of the great wrestling moments of the year. And one of the great wrestling swerves of the year for sure.
Right.
Really, really liked that. I do enjoy Cody's stuff. I just don't enjoy the fact that people think he's a face because he's a heel. Yeah. He's definitely not the MVP of the year, but he definitely had a lot of really good things this year. And he did bring us some great new talent at AEW. So
I have to say that when he defeated Lance Archer in the TNT Championship Finals, I thought that was one of the biggest misses of the year. And I think we all agreed on that, if I remember right.
The fact they even booked that match was a miss.
Yeah, but the reality is the open challenge for the TNT title might be my favorite set of matches for the year. Because you got new guys that earned contracts because of it, like you mentioned, because of Eddie Kingston and Ricky Starks. You had guys that most people have never heard of that, even though they're not still around, raised their profile for the indie scene, kind of like a warhorse. And then you had his matches with guys like Scorpio Sky and Sonny Kiss that were just great.
Yeah.
They were just great.
Mark Quinn as well. And then that's a good one.
Which one?
Mark Quinn.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have his stuff with Darby Allin, which Darby was already turning into a star. And as far as I'm concerned, Cody is really what put Mr. Allin over.
Yeah.
His draw with him, which he had two draws with him, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then the fact that he lost the title to Darby recently, it was just good. It was just really good.
Yeah, that match was great as well. Him handing the belt to Darby. Really cool.
Absolutely. So number three, speaking of, Micah, Darby Allin.
Oh, yeah. So Darby Allin is he's kind of like, you say that he's the face of TNT because he's got the belt or whatever, but he really is the face of AEW's next generation, I think. When you think of homegrown talent, when you think of the youth in AEW, you think of Darby Allin. He is new. He's fresh. He's not somebody like we've seen really anything before. People compare him to, you know, like a mixture of Jeff Hardy and Sting or something like that, but he really is completely unique in his build and the way he wrestles. And the way that he's just willing to do whatever. And I think he's really important to AEW because, for one, he's super popular among kids. You see all kinds of kids out there with half their face painted. I mean, you look at last Halloween, there were all kinds of little Darby heads out there. And it's really important to have that kind of youthfulness in a company because, I mean, you look at what some other companies have done and you keep bringing back old legends. You keep hammering people who we're tired of in our heads over and over again. But it is really important to have new, fresh faces. And Darby Allin is one of the best, I think, of this next generation of wrestlers.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Darby. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say he's been MVP caliber, in my opinion. But he's definitely been a important character for the future of AEW. He's one of those guys he's a new character, you know, relatively speaking in wrestling. He's got a great persona. He's obviously got Sting, you know, kind of paying him close attention now. I think the future is going to be brighter for Darby Allin. He's kind of gotten along a lot more towards the end of the year, as far as like his, you know, for me, MVP status has got to be like, you know, somebody who's been constantly at the top or contributing, you know, big. And I just don't see him at the level of Moxley and Cody, but he's definitely been a strong character in AEW, and he's obviously been a fan favorite, but I still think the future is next year. We could very much be talking about Darby Allin is possibly AEW champion and MVP of 2021. But as far as this year, I probably wouldn't put him up there as my MVP. But I think he's definitely been a fan favorite. I mean, he's had kids when, you know, we were having people at the shows that were painting their faces. I mean, and he's relatively new to the company, and he's definitely a fan favorite. So, I mean, if there's any argument to be made, it's that.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Like, I get your argument, because it's not fair to say he's up there with someone like Mox. But I think the reality is, out of all the new stars, and there's been a ton of them that have emerged this year in All Elite Wrestling, I think Darby Allin is the guy of the crop of people that most people haven't heard of, right? I mean, Cody, Jericho, Mox, everyone knows these names if you're a wrestling fan. But even if you're a pretty big wrestling fan, most people hadn't heard of Darby Allin until he hit All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
So now, the fact that he's the TNT champion, he's had a really great year with all his matches against Cody, his matches against Mox. Now he's doing some cool stuff with Team Taz. I really think that even though he won't get my vote for MVP, I think that he deserves some recognition. That's why I added him on the list.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, Kyle. Hit us up with Mr. Chris Jericho.
I mean, he is the demo god, so he's got that going for him.
Right.
He's probably another that he's kind of taken a back seat. He was big on AEW's debut and was their first champion, but ever since he lost the title, he's kind of you know let some younger guy. Obviously, he's given, you know, the shine to Orange Cassidy, and they've had, you know, their feud. But he's kind of taken a back seat as of late, and hasn't been on fire as he was like in his, you know, his first couple months in AEW. But he's still, you know, he's putting over young talent. He's had great segments on Dynamite, and some of the most notable, obviously the thing with him and MJF, the Broadway show that they put on. Obviously, he's
the Stadium Stampede. You can't forget about that.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's definitely been up there with some of the most memorable moments of AEW. If there's a shot of him being MVP, it'd be for something like that. That he's had a lot of the biggest moments in AEW, with, you know, not necessarily being the highlight of the show or the most important part of the show on each week.
Yeah, I definitely think that Chris Jericho is an MVP for giving AEW a lot of, like, I don't know, like, so like Jon Moxley definitely brought him into that next level, I think, after taking it from Jericho. But just from the get-go, Jericho just set them apart as a real legitimate company. And not only that, his creativity, like with the Stadium Stampede, with all the Inner Circle stuff, like you said, I think that really makes him really important. I don't say that 2020 was really his year. I think 2019 was really the year, like the first year of AEW was the year of Jericho.
I think he won last year, if we remember right.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. So it's definitely not his year. This is kind of the time he's taking to get out of the spotlight a little bit, and that's totally fine. But he's definitely still very important to the company. So I can definitely see him being in the top five, but I wouldn't put him at number one, I don't think.
Chris Jericho has just been so entertaining all year. He started the year as champion, finally losing it to Mox. He put over Orange Cassidy in a wackadoodle Mimosa Mayhem match. He was in the Stadium Stampede, which was one of the most entertaining things to ever happen to professional wrestling.
To the world. It
just, yeah. It was just so good. Chris Jericho, everything he's done this year has been really good. And everything he pretty much ever does is really good. And I think that even though he hasn't been in the main event picture this year, I think that he still deserves some recognition and perhaps even a thought of being the MVP just because he's put over new talent and he has just been so, so darn entertaining. I absolutely love Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he is one of the greatest of all time.
Now, before we get into the fifth person and the final person that I'm going to say before I let you guys add anyone if you want, I'm going to throw in some honorable mentions, and I'm going to tell you why I didn't put them in the top five. I think FTR is a big deal. They've done some really great stuff in AEW this year, but I think the reality is they haven't been in AEW all year. They were in WWE for a part of the year, which is why I didn't put them on there. And the same goes for Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston has been wildly entertaining, but he came in July.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's fair to say that he was the MVP for the whole year. Also, two guys that are not on this list are Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. And
travesty.
We'll talk more about that. They had, one of the greatest matches of all time, but everything they've done this year hasn't been spectacular. Remember their match with FTR, which their match with the Young Bucks was great. The Young Bucks match with FTR was great. But Kenny Omega and Hangman versus FTR was not great. So they have been good for the most part of the year. Their feud against each other in their tag team has been super entertaining. But I didn't put them in the top five because of that. And I know you'll probably want to talk about that, so we will. But before we do that, number five, the Young Bucks. Micah.
You're wrong. Hangman and Kenny should have this spot. I have nothing more to say.
No, tell me about the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks are great. I really do. I do love the Young Bucks. But to say that this year they've been more important than Hangman and Kenny is really just a mishandling of justice. It really is. Because I don't tune in to AEW to see what's happening with Matt and Nick Jackson. I don't tune in to BTE to see what's happening with Matt and Nick Jackson. I love Matt and Nick Jackson, but all I care about is the Hangman, Adam Page. His story is one of the most relatable in wrestling. It's so entertaining. The story involving Kenny and Hangman and the Young Bucks is one of the best stories in wrestling history. Their match at Revolution, one of the best matches of all time. It's true that a lot of the stuff they've done together, the Hangman and Kenny and the Bucks, has been some of the best ever. But it's not entirely due to the Bucks, and I feel like Hangman and Kenny have accomplished way more this year than the Bucks have. I mean, you've got the Bucks feuding with the Acclaimed. Ugh. You've got Hangman and Kenny, who feuded with FTR, who feuded with the Young Bucks. I mean, there's an obvious number five in this spot. So that's my piece.
All right. Go ahead, Kyle.
So Micah, I know you say that you don't watch AEW for the Young Bucks, but a lot of people do. And if there's
that's fine. They can be
if
wrong.
There's a reason for them to be on here. I think that's probably the only reason. They've obviously had, great matches. They've also had some not so great matches here and there. Some that aren't bad, but kind of don't live up to expectations. But for the most part, they've had some really good matches throughout the year. And people watch them on Dynamite. They're, you know, pretty consistently some of the highest rated segments on the show, especially with the younger audience. I think they're a big reason why they are currently, you know, spanking WWE when it comes to the young demographic. You know, not just the demo god. I think Young Bucks have a big part to play in that. And that is what is making them the dollars. So if there's any reason for them to be MVP, I think you got to go with that.
Yeah, I mean, the Young Bucks have put on the match with Kenny Omega and Hangman and FTR, which are two of the best tag team matches of all time. And maybe definitely two of the best matches of the year, if not the two best matches of the year. They were both absolutely insanely good. I don't think you can leave the Young Bucks out here. And it was very, very difficult to leave out Kenny Omega and Hangman. But I think the Young Bucks deserve the spot a little bit more.
You're also forgetting the fantastic match that Hangman and Kenny had against each other.
That was very good.
And you're also forgetting that the reason that FTR versus Hangman and Kenny kind of sucked is because Matt Hardy almost killed himself like 15, 20 minutes prior.
It's absolutely fair.
That entire show suffered from the fact that we almost saw, or what we saw, he may have been dead. We don't know.
Yeah, we had no
idea. That whole show suffered because of that. It's not their fault that the match wasn't as good as the Bucks versus FTR.
That's fine. So why don't you nominate someone else, Micah, for the AEW MVP? Well, go ahead. Tell me what you think.
I don't know that I could nominate somebody else specifically. I could say the MVP of the women's division is Britt Baker for sure. She's consistently
over Sheeta.
Sheeta is a consistent work machine, but Britt Baker is a consistent entertainment machine. She is great every time she's on the screen. Since she's recovered, she was out with injury for a while though, so that's kind of iffy. I'm just talking about recent history, yeah. I guess. But yeah, Britt Baker, anytime she's on the screen, I love it. I haven't seen her do a bad thing since she turned heel, really. Oh well, the Dennis match. Let's just move that from our minds. But I don't really know somebody specific to say that I would. We've talked about everybody I would put in the top five.
It's okay to say Kenny Omega and Hangman Page if you want to talk about that more.
But I'll just tell you how I would layer my top five. Okay. Number one, John Moxley. Okay. Number two, the tag team of Kenny and Hangman, because their tag team story is one of my favorite stories in wrestling history. So I'm not saying as singles competitors they've done great, because obviously Hangman has kind of been kind of laid on the wayside. Kenny obviously won the belt. Next year will maybe Kenny's year to be the MVP of AEW, but their tag team story is what I tuned in for this year. Number three, I think I would put the Young Bucks at number three. I was kind of giving the Young Bucks some shade, mainly because you made them appear over the Buck, Hangman and Kenny, which is just wrong. Yeah. But number three, I would probably put the Bucks. I do really love the Bucks. I think tag team wrestling is my favorite, and for sure they need to be on there. Number four, I would put Cody. And number five, I would put Chris Jericho. Or just the whole Inner Circle, really, if we're doing tag teams or groups. The Inner Circle is always entertaining. You've got the stuff with MJF here recently. Super great. Santana and Ortiz's match against the Best Friends. Love that. A lot of their stuff is really, really good. Even some stuff that Jake Hager does. Some stuff. And Sammy Guevara, he's just the best. Love all his stuff. But yeah. Okay. So that would be my top five if we're combining tag teams and the like.
Okay. Kyle, do you want to add anyone to a potential MVP list?
No, not really. I think we've covered pretty much all the big players. Because there's definitely someone here that probably could have been. I mean,
right.
I guess Orange Cassidy, maybe.
Yeah.
He definitely deserves some recognition. Just because of his year that he's had. I mean, he's caught the attention of my girlfriend as being one of the characters that she likes on this show anytime that she happens to catch it, if I'm watching it. So she enjoys him to the point where we had a friend come over that watches our dog for us from time to time. And we got to talking about wrestling for some reason. And Stephanie said the only character that she liked was Orange Cassidy on the program. And I was like, okay. So he's definitely, you know, been a big character for the program. Don't know if he's been MVP, but he's definitely been, you know, up there as one of their big characters. But yeah, I think, and I do think Sheeta for the women's division has been a strong. I mean, she's if you're wanting, you know, to pretty much have a guaranteed good match in the women's division, you can pretty much count on Sheeta. She's been a, you know, a pretty big player in the women's division, obviously being the champion. And especially since, you know, they lost someone like Riho, who was kind of that, who that, you know, was that cornerstone of the women's division to start the company. It's really been Sheeta who's taken that and run with it. So I think those two would probably be my additions, if anybody.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, we've got Micah's vote. He gave us his whole top five, actually.
Yeah.
So Micah picked Jon Moxley. Kyle, who are you going to pick for AEW MVP of 2020?
Jon Moxley is probably, you know, the one everybody's thinking of because he's the champion. He's been great pretty much all year. But I'm going to go with Cody. I think,
okay,
not necessarily because of his in-ring work, even though he's had some great matches with some, you know, great people, but just his contribution to the product overall. Like, obviously Moxley has been, you know, the champion. He's led, you know, the company, like I said, with his matches, with his promos, everything he's done has been good. But just all the little things that Cody's been doing, as we said, with the TNT Championship, with his open challenges, all the debuts, you know, with Eddie Kingston being one of the, you know, additions to the roster who's been great. I mean, you could argue that he wouldn't even be there if not for, you know, Cody Rhodes' open challenge. Obviously, he created a new title. He's helped superstars like Orange Cassidy, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin get more, you know, get more credibility, even though, I mean, most of the AEW audience kind of knew who they were anyway, but they, I mean, just gave them more opportunity to shine. But also things he's doing outside the company, bringing in eyes on the, you know, the casual viewer, like the game show that he's doing, you know, being starting a program with Shaq. I mean, obviously it hasn't been highlighted throughout the year, but it's going to be a big program, I think, next year. And it's going to not necessarily for, you know, the quality of match, but for, you know, getting eyes to the product. Obviously bringing on Jade Cargill. There's just been a lot of moves that he's made, not just as an EVP of the company, but just kind of the little things he's done on the program and what he's done for the company as a whole. I think that would make him the MVP of this year.
Okay. So, Mike, I do want to say before I give my MVP that I was wrong. Kenny Omega and Hangman should have been on this list, and the reason they weren't, I thought they won the title at the end of last year, and that started their run. But apparently they won the title in January.
That's right.
So all those amazing matches they had that I thought some of them were last year, were this year. So you're
I'm
right.
Glad they should glad have been, you can finally admit that.
They should have been on the list. Either way, though, Jon Moxley is the MVP of 2020. Yeah. And the reason is because everything he's touched has turned to gold. Even the stuff that I'm like, eh, this isn't really for me. It doesn't matter because everyone absolutely loves it. The guy can't cut a bad promo. Like, I'm not sure if he tried it while he has creative freedom, if he can cut a bad promo. Because Dean Ambrose's stuff sometimes was a little iffy. But Jon Moxley has not cut a bad promo, period. Matter of fact, his promo about his father from a month or so ago was one of the best promos he's ever cut. And it was just incredible. And it's because it came from the heart and it came from an actual memory. So I think Jon Moxley wins here, but I'm totally on board with the Cody Rhodes thing. And honestly, you could convince me that Omega and Hangman should have won here. So good stuff. Good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our AEW MVP of 2020. Tune in next week for our WWE MVP of 2020, plus our match of the year and our worst worker of the year. Ooh, who is it going to be? I bet you know Micah's.
You can't see it, but I'm pointing at my forehead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We hope you're having a wonderful Christmas and holiday season, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.